Do events of the past influence this present day? Are we truly living in a new age? Today, Gloria Copeland and special guest Billy Brim from Prayer Mountain and the Ozarks invite you to join them for an informative discussion on these and other questions surrounding Israel and the end times, next on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Our friend Billy Brim is here again today talking about the signs of the times. We want to be sure everybody's on the Lord's side.
Amen.
Because He's going to win this.
Yes.
So, Billy, we're all ears.
Whoa, things are happening so fast right now.
I know it.
And, of course, Jesus is the one who told us to know the signs of the times in Matthew 16. He is the one who also gives us signs of the time. And if you'll turn to Matthew 24, trust you have your textbook out today. What if we get caught up in the first question at the judgment seat of Christ where we receive our rewards is, have you read the text?
Yes.
This is the text.
Have
bless
you
the
read
Lord.
The book?
So in the text, he says to us, chapter 24, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? Now here we see Jesus and his disciples on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem with a temple. Herod had done a 30-plus year rebuilding of the second temple with huge stones and stones all around it, a refurbishing of the temple. And the disciples were there just saying, oh, look at these stones. And he said, don't get your eyes on these stones. They're coming down. So he does predict that the temple, and this is the second temple, would be destroyed. The first temple was destroyed in the Babylonian destruction. But now there's going to come another one. He's saying this in about the year 30. In about 30 and A.D. And in 40 years later, Rome came and destroyed the temple. Now, when they get out to the Mount of Olives, that means some time has passed. The disciples come unto him, verse 3, and say, when shall these things happen? In other words, when will the temple be destroyed? And they have a second question. What will be the sign of your parousia, which means in Greek you're coming as a king? What will be the sign of your coming as a king and the end of the age? And so he answers their questions in Matthew 24, and he answers their questions in Luke 21. You have to rightly divide the word. You have to decide whether he's talking about the destruction of the temple or of his coming at the end of the age. Now here in Matthew 24, the Lord deals primarily with the coming of the Lord and with the end of the age. In Luke 21, he's going to take it up with the destruction of the temple by the Romans. So let's go to Luke 21, which is the same event, but it's going to give us a different view of it. And in Luke 21, he's going to describe to them about when the Romans will come and destroy that temple 40 years later. And he says that the Israelites, verse 24, the Jews, they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be carried away captive into all nations. And when the Babylonians took them, they were carried primarily into Babylon. But here is going to come the Romans, and they're going to carry them away as slaves. And they took them to all nations. Now, he goes to Jerusalem. The Jerusalem is the keystone. It's the touchstone. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Now, Jesus gives us a recognizable time called the times of the Gentiles or the times of the nations. And these times of the Gentiles have to do with Gentile rule over Jerusalem. It starts with the Babylonian captivity, and we're going to see where it ends. Now, go on down a little bit to verse 29. And he spoke to them a parable. Watch the fig tree, the nation of Israel, and all the trees, the trees of prophecy, the other nations of prophecy. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is nigh at hand. Well, what's he talking about here? He's talking about what it tells us in Daniel chapter 2, where we read about the Babylonian captivity. with the Babylonian captivity, when the Jews were carried off and their first temple destroyed, the times of the Gentiles began. And it only closes with the end of this age, when the kingdom shall once again be restored to Israel on the earth in Jerusalem. And so we're going to see about this times of the Gentiles, who's in it, how long it lasts, and we're going to find out that it goes right up to right now. So let's look at Daniel chapter 2, and we're going to look at Nebuchadnezzar's image. Nebuchadnezzar, you know, is, bless the Lord, hallelujah. There is Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, you remember that Daniel was carried off. They came and carried off some of the young minds and the seed royal from Jerusalem. And they sent them to school, and Daniel entered into the school. He was faithful to God, and he rose right to the top of the kingdom. And in the second year, chapter 2, of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, and his spirit was troubled. He had a dream that bothered him, and he said to all the wise men of the Chaldeans of Babylon, he said, tell me my dream and tell me its meaning. And they said, we can't do that. He said, all right, I'm going to chop you to pieces, put you on a dunghill, your body parts. This is happening in present-day Iraq. This land, Babylon, is where present-day Iraq is now. And so torture, a spirit of torture and terrible things has been there for years. Now, Daniel hears that he's going to destroy the wise men, so that means Daniel and the three Hebrew children. So he asks for some time, and he goes to God, asks for the dream and its interpretation. And when he receives it, he takes it to the king Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 27 of chapter 2. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days, all the way down to when you live and I live, all the way down to what's happening in Europe today. And so here is the dream. Verse 31, Daniel says to the king, thou saw, O king, a great image. We're showing you that image now. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of copper or brass, his legs, two legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and broke them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. Remember, Jesus said there's going to come the times of the Gentiles, and for you to watch when summer comes. Now, summer is judgment at Israel. You get in the wheat and you judge the crop. You take the wheat and divide it from the chaff. And so we see here in this image, and you're seeing it on the screen, and Daniel says to the king Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon in verse 38, you are the head of gold. But after you, there's coming a kingdom inferior to you, two arms of silver, the Medo-Persians. And then after you, there's going to come the brass. That is the copper or brass of Alexander the Great. Then the two iron legs of Rome, the Roman Empire, he saw as iron. And then out from that iron of the two legs, you saw feet and toes, 10 toes, part of iron, part of clay, growing out from the old Roman Empire. There's a revived Roman Empire that is illustrated by the 10 toes here, a multi-headed kingdom. And we see that this image, giving us the whole time of Gentile rule over Jerusalem, begins with Babylon and goes right down to the Roman Empire, two legs, and then the Roman Empire revived, which is the European Union, in exactly the place of the old Roman Empire. Now, he said, you saw till, verse 34, a stone was cut out without hands. That means man didn't have anything to do with it. God did it. He cuts out a stone. It strikes that image on the feet, and the whole image falls, becomes like the chaff of a summer threshing floor, is all blown away. And that stone is the kingdom of God, and it fills the whole earth. Now, that stone does not strike the image in the time of the Babylonian head, but it strikes it in the time of the revived Roman Empire feet. Now, what Nebuchadnezzar saw as an image, Daniel later sees, if you'll turn to Daniel 7 and Daniel 8, he sees as beasts. And the beast that he sees has 10 horns. And it starts out with Babylon, and it ends up with a great iron beast. And the iron beast is like the iron legs, very strong, very terrible, and it illustrates the Roman Empire, who did the most terrible damage to Israel. And out of the iron beast, there comes 10 horns. So what Nebuchadnezzar saw as 10 toes, Daniel sees as 10 horns, and he begins to tell us about a little horn. And I hope you watch Dr. Hilton Sutton and Brother Kenneth Copeland as they spoke about the Antichrist. And he gave you all the attributes of him, and it says that he will come forth in the latter times. And he will grow out of the horns, this multi-kingdom that's coming in Europe. If you will go over to John's Revelation, let's look at the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, but it was given to John. We're going to see that he too sees the beasts of the Gentile time of rule in Jerusalem, and he sees them in chapter 13 and chapter 17 of the book of Revelation. And he says, I stood upon the sand of the sea, chapter 13, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And he sees this Antichrist come forth. He sees the mark of the beast, verse 17. And then chapter 17, we want to go here. Excuse me. Again, this is a revelation of his seeing the beast. And he says, chapter 17, Revelation, verse 8. The beast that you saw was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And then at the end, it calls at end of verse 8, the beast that was and is not and yet is. That's the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was, and then it was not, and then it is again, as it's revived now in Europe. The European Union is coming into the place of the old Roman Empire. Verse 12. And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So this revived Roman Empire is going to offer to the beast, offer to the Antichrist. Maybe they don't offer it. Maybe he just usurps it. But he's going to take as his platform the revived Roman Empire. And they're going to give him that platform for 1 hour, not long, with the beast. These have one mind, and they shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Praise the Lord. We've watched it. We see how the beast is judged. We have listened as Brother Sutton talked and Brother Copeland talked, how that every single thing the Antichrist tries fails. But we do see here, and what we want to look at right now is as a sign of the times, is that we do have the revived Roman Empire. And I went in February of this year to Europe. And in Europe, there I spent some time with a pastor from Brussels. And he brought me just 1 week's bulletins from the European Union. And in their bulletins for 1 week, he took out for me what matched Bible prophecy. Now, we didn't get all this news in the United States of America. We were too busy hearing about some more, I don't know, sensational trials and the antics of entertainers. But it was happening in Europe. These things were there. Now, one of them was the expansion of the European Union. They started out with the old western part, and that's where they began, in the western part of Europe. They revived that. But now, there's two legs to that Roman beast. And we do see that off of the two legs there come 10 toes. So they had to move over to the eastern Roman Empire as well. So now they have made a sweep to include, they call it broadening expansion. And in May of this year, they made it effective that they are now 25 known countries in the European Union, many of them to the east. Now, I was in a meeting at the Parliament of the European Union where they invited in some of their English-speaking people, countrymen, from Ireland, from England, and they were explaining to them why they had to expand, why they had to take in the eastern countries of the old Soviet bloc. They're weak. Their economies are weak. And some of the peoples who have strong economies, remember the Bible says that these toes are part iron and part clay? Mm-hmm. Some of the people that had strong economies did not want to take them in. And so they were telling to them, I heard them say this with my own two ears, we have to take them in. If we do not take them in, how can we control them? And then they said,
wow,
now we can't give them all the
you
power.
You actually heard
that? I heard it with my two ears. Lynn heard it too. Lynn Hammond, she was with me.
I believe you.
And God always gives me witnesses because my stories are pretty wild. But he always gives me witnesses to them.
If we do not take them in, how can we control them?
If we do not take them in, how can we control them? It's all about control. Now, Then they said, but we can't give them the same like power we've got. Each one of the nations used to have its own commissioner. We can't give them, they said, a commissioner as powerful as our commissioners. We'll have to work out a compromise plan. We can't have them voting with the same power. So at that day when I was there, this has been a year or so ago, they said, we're going to have to give up some of our national identity and we're going to have to see ourselves as regions. We will have the Madrid region.
And we're going to be the bosses.
Yeah, we're the bosses of the regions. And I thought, I bet you they end up with 10 regions. You see, the countries of Europe are changing all the time. Yeah. The borders are changing right now. It doesn't have to be 10 nations as we know the nations. It will be the nations as God sees them at this time.
Isn't that amazing that you heard that? You were there on that day.
On that day. Lynn, too. Now, this year, February, when I was back over there and he brought me these... this stack of bulletins, here was one, they said. Now they're going to take in the 25 nations in February. It was future. And they said, now we can't let them have the power that we do. This was in a bulletin. We need a president of Europe. And we need to have the power rest with the president of Europe. And we have taken a poll of the European citizenry. Now I do not believe they took such a poll because here's the results of the poll. 80% of the European citizenry is for an all-powerful president of Europe. But only 45% want him to be elected. Does that make sense to you?
No.
That in the same poll they say, yes, we want someone to have power over us. No, we don't want to have any voice in his coming into power. That does not make sense. But anyway, that's the poll that they put forth. Then they said, we're going to have to have a foreign minister of Europe. Because we have got to have a unified foreign ministry policy. They were angry that Poland and Spain went with President Bush and the United States on the Iraq matter. So they said, we can't be divided. We have got to have a foreign minister of Europe, and we have got to have a president of Europe. So I'm sitting over there reading these, and I don't even know if such things got into our news, but it is news that they're preparing right now for this one who can sit atop them, the Antichrist, and at least proclaim that he is all-powerful.
And he's chosen among themselves, is that right?
Yes, yes, and that not to be elected.
So a small group of people would have total control over all those countries.
Yes.
And is it true that they, when you come in the European Union, you have to send them your gold?
They are sending gold now. It's very interesting. They're sending gold to Germany.
I know.
And the amazing thing about it is they're sending all their gold to Germany, which is what Hitler wanted them to do and made them to do it. And now they just work the papers. And by the papers, without Hitler and his guns, they're sending all their gold to the same place.
Think of that. A country sending all of its gold to some other country.
Yes. And the European Union is Franco-German driven. It's driven by France and Germany. And another thing in one of these bulletins was they have launched their first spy satellite. And in the bulletin it said that the United States was very upset because they had launched it into our frequency. and they were in effect jamming our satellite by putting theirs right under it. And the satellite that they have put up, they said was having a lot of controversy. Now, I heard in the United States it had been put up about 2 weeks later. We got the news, but it didn't say anything about the controversy, nor that they had jammed us. And so one of the journalists while I was over there said the driving force for the European Union today, the driving force for its existence is to be anti the United States. So we see
they're proving that. Yeah.
Yes, they're proving it.
Now, tomorrow, Billy, would you talk to the people that are in those nations that watch the broadcast and tell them how to pray and how to stay in victory themselves, regardless, so that they're not discouraged and so on. Good. And don't forget.
I won't forget. Okay. We'll do it first.
All right.
You know, the key to it is the three groups of peoples, the Jews, the nations, and the church.
That's right. That's right.
You see, it's the nations that are going to know these judgments. If you are there in Europe and you're in the church, it has nothing to do with you. You are a completely different group. You're going to see the Lord come in the air. You're going to go up to Him. I was invited to come to Russia by Rick Renner and teach Russia's place in end time prophecy. And I said, Rick, it's not good. And he says, I know, but the Lord says they have a right to know. And so I went there. I was there on 9/11 when the towers came down. And God helped me to preach to those Russians, because Ezekiel 38 and 39 is about a war coming down, you know, Russia coming down from the north. But I was able to say to them, You're not in the nations group.
That's right.
You are in the church of the
Glory
living God.
To God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. You're going to be gone out of here when these things happen.
Yes,
but before you go, God's going to be using you. What do? Withhold the Antichrist. It says in 2 Thessalonians that he cannot even be identified until that withholds him is taken out of here. That's the church. If you are in, I love to go to Europe. That's one of my main places to go right now. We have prayer meetings in Brussels called Holding Back the Antichrist prayer meetings. Because one of the ways you do it is prayer. Put on the armor of God. Praying. And so you're holding back the activities of these things coming full forth.
As long as we're here.
As long as we're here. And I'm believing God for a great number of souls to come into the kingdom.
Yes. Glory to God.
In those places.
Praise God. Is that exciting?
Get into the church.
Glory to God. So you don't want to miss tomorrow's broadcast. But Billy and I'll be right back.
Jesus said
that you can see the physical things and tell if it's going to rain tomorrow, but you cannot see in the Word of God the signs of the times when you're living.
Do you know the signs of the times?
No matter what is happening on the earth, when you're alive, God's doing something.
That's right. Absolutely.
He's moving on toward the
big
completion
plan.
Of the big plan.
Discover what God's Word has to say about what's happening in the world today in the Jews, the nations, and the church. A series by Billy Brim. Find out how to rightly divide the truth of God's Word. Understand the place and importance of Israel in prophecy. Discern the difference between God's view of the West Bank and the world's.
There is no stability in any time you might be living, but especially right now, unless you have knowledge of the Word of God.
The Jews, the nations, and the church. Order your copy today. Billy Brim's teaching series, The Jews, the Nations, and the Church, is available on audio cassette or CD for $16 and video cassette for $45. You can order online at kcm.org or call toll-free 1-800-575-4455. Use the offer numbers on your screen. Use your charge card or personal check when ordering online or over the phone. And as always, you can write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192.
You want to be sure and get these tapes, The Jews, the Nations, and the Church. This is something you have to listen to over and over again. I've heard Billy teach it a number of times, but there's so much to grasp here. She's been studying it for years and years and years and years. You can get it on CD. You can get it on video, which will have a lot more pictures with it and will be great to show to your study group or prayer group or to the church
or to the family, and it will help them. You know, we all need to know what's going on right now. We need to know the signs of the times. That's what Jesus said. And so we want you to have that. And you can hear it over and over and over again. Mark your Bible up. I just can't keep up with Billy. She gives us so much information. But we love it. And we can get it if we have the time. So you just do it. We're going to be having some conventions this year, as every year, the West Coast Believers Convention, June the 28th through the July the 3rd. Now, when we all gather together and all the believers gather together, the Lord speaks to us and He tells us what's happening, what's going to happen. We learn to go back in the scripture and study it for things that are going to happen, but God will tell us things in our day that are going to happen, as well as study the Word of God. And it builds you up. And God moves to direct the words to the people that are there. So you need to come to the Southwest Believers Convention, August 2nd through the 7th, Fort Worth, Texas. We'll have children's services for ages 6 to 12. Great Lakes is in August. So get on the internet and find out. Get your room reservations made and come. We are going to have a great, great time together. If you've never been in one, you cannot imagine how it is to sit 6 days and nights under the anointed Word of God. And so you have to come to find out. Tomorrow is going to be offering day, so pray and see what the Lord would have you do to support the broadcast. If it ministers to you, then it's up to you to support it. So you pray. Billy and I will be back tomorrow, and this is our word to you. Jesus is Lord.
Thanks for being a part of today's Believer's Voice of Victory. For a copy of this week's teaching on audio or video cassette, visit us at kcm.org and order online. Or call us toll-free 1-800-575-4455.
How can I make more money?
Why do I feel so alone?
Is God really there?
What questions are you asking? Get your answers in a Holy Spirit-charged atmosphere at the 2004 West Coast Believers Convention, June 28th through July 3rd. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar at the Anaheim Convention Center in Anaheim, California. For more information, visit kcm.org or call 1-800-359-0075.
Are you ready? It's time for the 2004 West Coast Believers Convention. So get up, turn that TV off, and join me, Commander Kelly, Commander Dana, and Commander Linda, because we're bringing Super Kid Academy to you, West Coast. Join us in Anaheim, California on June the 28th through July the 3rd. That's for ages 6 through 12, and we'll be at the Anaheim Convention Center. And I just have one question for you. Are you ready?
Hello, I'm Gloria Copeland. Join me on the Believer's Voice of Victory as we look into the Word of God concerning your healing. God wants you well of every sickness, every disease, every pain, every mental problem, every situation in your life. God wants to heal you and make you whole. So learn what He has to say about it and agree with Him, and change will come into your life.
You won't want to miss these special broadcasts.